animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray together. Father God, we are quite familiar with the story of Noah. And so we pray that your word would teach us something new today, and that in your written word we might meet Jesus, the living word. Amen. Around this time of the year, I often think about allotments. It might be to do with harvest, or it might be to do with the fact that often at about this time, my father-in-law, who has two plots at his local allotments, always used to take a delivery of a load of manure. It was always dumped in a public car park at the back of the allotment, and so it had to be moved as quickly as possible. And so we were always enlisted to help with moving it, and we'd spend a happy morning, or maybe not so happy, whatever the weather, going back and forth until the manure was moved. Our reward was a meal out in the evening. That was the bribery. I asked my father-in-law on Friday whether he had fruit and veg on his allotment that covered all the colours of the rainbow. He didn't, but he did have plenty of ideas as to what you could include. We're thinking today about a harvest rainbow. And so I've brought some fruit and veg along that's the colour of the rainbow. I thought I would just give us a little colourful visual aid. And we've got a little slide as well, just to help. So because this is, I'm working upwards, I've got to do the colours of the rainbow backwards, which is a bit of a task. So I've got some grapes for our purpley colour, blueberries for the blue, green, some mange too. Yellow, sweet corn, and a lemon, which will bang in there, and some orange carrots, and some tomatoes. So there's our little rainbow visual aid. Harvest is all about fresh fruit and veg. And Will's talked about his marrow. I'm never quite sure what you use marrows for, actually, apart from displaying at harvest. Anyway, there we are. And of course, a rainbow is famous for being part of the story of Noah and his ark, which was our reading today. I expect we're all very familiar with the story of Noah, maybe too familiar. God asks him to build an ark, a massive boat, and to go into it to escape the flood that's coming. Noah's also told to take into the ark two of all living creatures, every kind of bird, animal, and insect. Noah does as God asks, and he and his wife and his three sons and their wives and all the animals go into the boat as it starts raining. And it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. And I feel after the last 40 hours, I know a little bit what that must have felt like. The earth is flooded, and the flood goes on for 150 days. Our reading today is at the end of that time. The floodwaters have gone down, and God tells Noah that it is safe for his family and all the animals and birds to come out of the ark. It struck me that Noah would understand something of what we've been through in recent months. Noah and his family, eight of them in all, were isolated in a boat for about 5 months. They had their own kind of lockdown in a household bubble together. They couldn't go anywhere or do anything that was outside the ark. And normal life, as they knew it, had changed forever. I bet they got cross with each other, wished they could have a bit of peace and quiet, especially with all those animals around. Today, they come out of the ark. The waters have gone down, and they begin what we would describe as a new normal. But the ark may well have come to a stop in a different place from where they got into it, and nothing around them looked the same after the flood. They probably had to really get used to what life was to be like now. But as they step out of the ark, uncertain, a bit anxious maybe, we see the first of two things that we're going to think about today. Firstly, we see God's promise. The first thing Noah does on leaving the boat is to put those building skills to a different kind of use, and he builds an altar and makes a sacrifice on it as his way of worshiping God. He is thankful. He is expressing his faith in God. He knows he needs God. He's been rescued to begin life again, and he worships. God loves us to come to him, to thank him, to show that we are trusting him. God takes delight in Noah's worship, and the same is true for us. I do believe that as strange as our times together are at the moment, God delights that we gather together. Indeed, whether that's here on site or by joining in online, he delights that we come before him. And God makes a new promise. And he makes this promise even though all human beings let him down in what they do and say and think. Look with me at verse 21. He says, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." The flood has not washed away what is wrong in people's hearts. But God promises to deal with that wrongdoing in a new way, and never again by destroying every living thing as he did in the flood. It's one of the unconditional promises that we find from God in the Bible. It means it's not based on anything that we do. Just in this reading, God says five times he will never again destroy living things on earth. There will never be a natural catastrophe that destroys all earthly life. His promise is that as long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Each day turns into night, each night into day. Each year, planting and harvest come around again. During these times of restrictions, we've gone from spring to summer to autumn. These are all part of God's promise to us. That we're celebrating harvest today is a sign that God is on our side. He is still at work, keeping the earth going. He will never again destroy all living things. The pattern of each day and of each season reminds us that God is faithful. He has made a promise and he does not break it. I wonder if you have ever made a promise and broken it. I have to say I have. I often used to promise my children I'd be home from work by a certain time and then wasn't. Perhaps you broke a promise to meet up with someone because something more exciting came along. Or perhaps you promised to stick by someone but then didn't when the going got tough. God made this promise all these years ago to Noah, and harvest shows us that the promise hasn't been broken and we can trust God. We heard today in chapter 9, in verses 9 and 10, that first of all, God's promise or agreement was with Noah. It was with an individual. He cares about Noah. God cares about us as individuals. Whatever is going on in your life, he loves you and he will not let you go, and his promises are for you. And then the promise is for all people. That means that we must show to those around us, at school, at work, in our neighborhoods, through how we live, that we have trust in God despite everything else going on around us, and we have hope. But also because this promise is for all people, that tells us that each and every person has dignity and value. One person is not more valuable than another. And so we show our care for other people because they matter to God. And one way we do that at Harvest is by bringing donations for the food bank and by supporting our mission partners across the world. And then God's promise was made to every living thing, birds and animals. So that tells us that God loves all of his creation. He is committed to it. And so we too must do what we can to protect the world, to care for it, to look after the environment, to play our part in whatever way. Maybe by using less paper, or by being really good at recycling, or buying food that is local and hasn't been flown across the world. There's a lot we can do as individuals and as a church in that area. The fact that we're celebrating harvest is a sign of God's promise to Noah that he will not destroy the earth. He has not abandoned his world, and that he is holding on to us. And he is faithful and keeps his promises. And we have much to be thankful for. So that's God's promise. And then we see God's reminder. I wonder if you have things in your house that act as reminders. And I've got a slide. Next slide. Yeah, I brought the real thing with me, actually. This is a paperweight. It's a reminder for me of my grampy. That's it up there. My grampy had a collection of paperweights that I used to look at in their glass cabinet when I visited my nanny and my grampy. And this one was in his collection. It's all the pieces of a clock kind of floating in the paperweight. So when I see it, it reminds me of him. When God makes his promise, his agreement with every living thing, he gives a sign of that promise in the form of a rainbow in the clouds. It's like a rainbow reminder. In these past few months, we've seen lots of rainbows in windows. The rainbow has become a sign of hope during this time. And it reminded us, too, to be thankful for our NHS staff and all they do to support us. Here in our Bible story is a physical reminder of God's promise. And interestingly, it's a reminder to God himself, as well as us. God says, when the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it, and then I will remember the agreement that continues forever. God looks on the rainbow and remembers his love and commitment to every living thing on earth. And we look at the rainbow, and it reminds us of God's love for us, his promise to protect us, and that he is faithful and keeps his promises. This summer, on the last day of our holiday, it rained really hard on and off. I was feeling a little bit sad that the holiday was coming to an end, and one of the things that was making me sad was that church is so strange at the moment, and it looks as if it will carry on being strange for a while. Well, the rain stopped, and we decided to go out for a wander, and in the sky was the sharpest and clearest rainbow I think I've ever seen. A couple of pictures. Those don't do it justice. Shining through the clouds over the harbour, visible in between the buildings and making people stop and look. And so it was a reminder to me that God is faithful. He remembers us. He thinks about us. And I felt him remind me that he is committed to his world and he's committed to his church, however weird it may feel. And he does have it all in his hands. The rainbow is a reminder of God's promises to us, and it's a sign of hope. Despite all that's going on around us, the changes and the chances of this world, God has not and will not give us up. In our reading, the rainbow was a sign of the promise that God would find another way of dealing with everything that we do wrong, of dealing with the fact that we live our lives without him, and we want to be in charge. And the Bible's word for that is sin. God's promise was that he would find another way of dealing with sin that did not involve destroying us. And so the rainbow also points us to another sign, which is the sign of the cross. Because that is the way God chose to deal with all that we do wrong, by sending Jesus to the cross, that through his suffering and death, sin is dealt with and we are set free. Like that rainbow promise, the promise of the cross is a gift. It's unconditional. It's the gift of life that we don't deserve. It comes out of God's love for us and his faithfulness to us. We have to let the cross be a reminder for us of what God has done, and that we need to decide for ourselves to follow Jesus. So today we celebrate harvest, that we have day and night, summer and winter, planting and harvest are signs that God has not forgotten us. And when we see a rainbow, may it remind us of God's faithfulness and that he keeps his promises. And may it point beyond itself and remind us too of the cross. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your promise to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for harvest, for all the abundance that we have. And thank you for the rainbow reminder. May it remind us of all your care for us, and may it point us to Jesus, who lived and died for us. how great you are. And in his precious name we pray. Amen.